It's kicking off. It's kicking off. You ready, Rockford?
Let's make it do what it do, baby.
Here we go. Man. It's here. That's right. Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man.
You know, music never gets old, my brother.
It never gets old, man. I appreciate that. Today is Tuesday, November the 27th, and we want to welcome you for your post-Thanksgiving holidays. And now let's go ahead and let's dive into Talking Sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford, and we have a lot of things to talk about, a lot of exciting developments over the weekend, and a lot of things to recap. So, Robert Ford, how are you doing this evening? As always, I got to open the show and check in with you, make sure you're doing good.
Man, doing great, man. I just had me some late-night dessert, man, so I'm ready to get right into the show. Just ate something I probably shouldn't have been eating, but it's all good, man. Let's get right into talking some sports, Doc. Let's give everybody the number.
Don't get in too much trouble with that. We're not going to talk about today either. So, for those who want to call in, the number, as always, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. The Facebook address is facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12man. And not to confuse you, the Twitter handle is @12, THMAN, 12mansports.com. So we got a lot of things going on with that. And let's jump right into it. We have some college football predictions to jump into. And this is a college football weekend, or a lot of championship weekend.
Championship week, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good games to discuss. And the first game that we're going to kick off is a very, very interesting MAC championship game. At number 21, Northern Illinois is at number 17, Kent State. And this is interesting, Rob, because I'm not sure most people even recognize Northern Illinois and Kent State, but this is a pretty good championship game. Northern Illinois is actually favored by 6, and they have a pretty stingy defense. And Kent State got beat by Kentucky, so this is going to be an interesting matchup.
Yes, I actually like Kent State in this matchup, believe it or not, even though they're the underdog. I'm going with the Golden Flashers. I think they have played a few more schools in BCS conferences that maybe can help them out a little bit in this contest. And I'm going to go with the Golden Flashers from Kent State.
I like the Huskies. I like the Northern Illinois in this game, so that's who I'm going with. So we'll see how that plays out. We got to keep track of these two, so keeping it moving, sir. Followed by number 16th ranked UCLA at number 8 Stanford. Stanford is actually favored by 8.5 points. This is a big game. Jim Moore did his due diligence beating USC, but this is a different animal with Stanford. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, as you know, Stanford just beat UCLA down in Los Angeles this past week, and now this week in the Pac-12 championship game, Stanford will be at home. You know, the Pac-12 does it a little bit different, you know. A team with the better record has the home field advantage in their championship game as opposed to playing in a neutral site. And so I know the Bay Area is one of our top areas for listeners, so I'm going to make the Bay Area a little happy. I'm going to go with Stanford to sweep UCLA in back-to-back weeks. I just think Stanford's defense is just entirely strong. They've been able to slow down just about every top offense they played this year, and I just don't see UCLA changing some things to go on the road and win at Stanford this week. And David Shaw has done an incredible job at Stanford. I think it's one of the better coaching jobs of the year. And look for Stanford to win this game and advance to the Rose Bowl.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think Stanford's going to do their diligence, and they're going to pull out against a tough game against the UCLA. Woo, another big, big matchup, especially here in the South. We have number 2 Alabama versus number 3 Georgia. Alabama's favored by 7 in this contest. And for me, I'm actually going to go with Alabama because of that scoring defense that they have. Alabama's got a tough, tough defense. It's going to be a pretty good game, but I think Alabama's going to be able to pull it out against an interesting Georgia team.
Well, you know, this game is pretty interesting, and I actually think we're going to look at a really close football game. I think Georgia is better than a lot of people think, and I put up a post for our show tonight, and one of my fellow St. Augustine Purple Knights put up a post regarding this game. We're going to just say what he has to say here. Ryan Email, fellow Purple Knight: Bama have grown men. Georgia always seems to find a way to screw it up. So I'm going to kind of agree with what he says, but I'm thinking, you know, Alabama will win this game, but it's going to be really close. In some kind of way, Georgia's going to screw it up at the end of the game. So I'm going to agree with my fellow St. Augustine Purple Knight, and Alabama will win. Somehow, Georgia will screw it up in the end.
Wow, we'll see how that plays out.
I know
out.
We have a lot of listeners in the Atlanta area, so they're not going to like this, but I'm going with Bama, too.
You got to keep it real, Rob, and Georgia Tech fan, you know, my favorite team is Georgia Tech and anyone that plays Georgia, so just keeping it real out there. So, you know, especially after that dismantling they gave us at Georgia Tech, but that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about the next contest, number 18, Texas, at the number 6, KSU, and KSU is favored by 11.5. I'm still a big fan of Bill Snyder. Even though KSU tripped up earlier, I actually like them in this game. They got a great quarterback in Colin Klein. I think they're going to handle their business against a very, very tough but very underrated Texas team. So that's what I'm going with. What about you?
Oh, yeah, I like Kansas State in this game. And don't be surprised if it's about 3 touchdowns or so. I like them big in this game. I know Texas is coming off a loss to TCU. I think Texas is a little bit overrated, and I don't even think they deserve to go play in the Cotton Bowl, which looks like they're going to be in. They should be in a little bowl less than that. But they're a big-name school. The fans travel well, so they'll probably still get to go to the Cotton Bowl. But I like Kansas State in this game, and I don't even foresee it being close.
Wow.
We like it.
Like I said, that's what's going on. For college football predictions over this big championship weekend, let's move right along. There's been a lot of movement in the college football world, from a lot of head coaches getting fired, a lot of head coaches getting hired. And this is a pretty interesting move in Kentucky. They actually hire FSU assistant Mark Stoops. And he's a defensive guy, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think this is a great move from Kentucky? And kind of, I'm going to ask you what their thinking is behind making this move, because obviously Joker Phillips did just a terrible job. And I guess they wanted to go with somebody with some nice little bloodlines from what they're thinking. So what are your thoughts behind this? And does Kentucky know something we don't know about to kind of smash up a pretty unknown guy?
I don't like the hire, personally. I mean, I think Stoops, and it's nothing against Mark Stoops. I think Stoops is, you know, he's got the bloodlines, of course. He's defensive coordinator at Florida State. And he's done a pretty solid job there, you know, at Florida State. But I think if Kentucky wants to take that next step in the SEC, they need to really go out and make a splash. And Mark Stoops, you know, I think he probably needed to go to a program maybe at a smaller level before I just hop into the SEC. And I just personally think that if Kentucky wanted to take the next step, they would either have to make a bold move, like going out and get somebody like a Bobby Petrino, who openly campaigned for the job. I just think they would have to make a bold move to go to make the next step in the SEC. I mean, this guy's going to go to Kentucky. He's probably going to do a decent job, but they're going to fire him again in 3 years, just like they do, just because they just need to make a big splash if they're going to take a next step in the SEC.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, like you said, whenever I was reading the whole bio about him, I was like, wow, this guy, he's like you said, even though he's got the bloodlines, just a pretty unknown guy. He didn't really have a lot of experience, and so you were thinking that maybe, you know, he may be over his head. But, you know, we'll see how everything plays out in Kentucky. They're still kind of searching for that right guy, obviously. Moving right along, Southern Miss actually fires Ellis Johnson after one season, and the question that we posed was, should any coach be fired after one season? And granted, he was 0-12. 0-12, Rob. I mean, you can't get at least one win in a season. So I don't agree with that. But, I mean, 0-12 is pretty bad.
Well, I will say in most cases, I do not agree with a coach getting fired after one season. But in this case, I agree with the firing. And here's the deal. I mean, Southern Miss was Conference USA champions last year. They went from being the champions of their conference – to going 0-12 in one season. And Southern Miss, I mean, this is a football program that typically plays three or four SEC schools every year. And every year they give SEC programs fits. And they're tough out, and usually every year they may even beat in one or two SEC teams. So this team is normally a tough out, and this was a total embarrassment at Southern Miss this year. And so I can't blame them. Of course, they had Larry Fedora, who's now in North Carolina, was the head coach, and did a phenomenal job at Southern Miss. And so they're going to have to go out and find, you know, a guy that's really creative that can come in and get that program back to where it was. Because Southern Miss has a history, like I said, of being a really underrated football program and competing with some upper echelon schools.
Gotcha, gotcha. It's pretty interesting that we're going to move forward and talk about Gene Chizik getting let go at Auburn. And, you know, like I said, I know it's kind of interesting because the fact that Chizik was just fired after, you know, being removed from that national championship 2 years ago. And that's pretty interesting as far as, you know, obviously a lot of people are making moves and trying to poach a lot of Auburn's recruits. But I guess the question is, who do you think should be replacing him? There's been a lot of interest as far as this job. It's a pretty good job. And Bobby Petrino, is actually, his name has come up in this particular instance because some Boosters actually, you know, they're pretty much saying, hey, we don't care, just win, baby, win. The terms, in the words of the deceased Al Davis, but what do you hear as far as that? And this is pretty interesting as far as you know, the Raging Cajuns head coach is in there, Mark Hudspeth, I want to say, and Chad Morris, a couple yeah. guys are actually en route for this particular position.
Yeah, Auburn is going to have to go out and hire Bobby Petrino, and you know, I'm not one who's been a huge Bobby Petrino fan. You know, I'm not even a Falcon fan, as you know. And but I even hated the way, you know, I even hated, you know, what he did to the Falcons some years ago. I mean, I just thought that was cowardly to just quit, you know, right, and go take another job right in the middle of the season. And some of his other antics, you know, he tried to steal Tommy Tuberville's job at Auburn a few years back while he was at Louisville. So, and of course, he had an incident in Arkansas this past year as well. But, you know, the guy can flat-out coach, and he can flat-out coach quarterbacks. He can flat-out coach in offense. He's an extremely gifted college coach. And I'm just hoping that maybe he's learned his lessons from some of his previous antics. But, you know, this is the only guy. And don't get me wrong, I don't want him to go to Auburn because I don't want to see him in the SEC. I don't want to see him in the SEC West. I'm an LSU fan. We already got to deal with Nick Saban at Alabama. We got to deal with Johnny Football at Texas A&M for another 3 years. So I don't want Bobby Petrino in the conference. And so I'm hoping he's going somewhere. But if you are Auburn, if I'm Auburn's athletic director, that's who I'm going to go after right now.
Wow. Like I said, all the co-eds, you got to be careful for Bobby Petrino if he's going to Auburn. So that's just something to watch out for.
I was trying not to say that for that.
I went ahead and said it for you. We love it, we love it, we love it. So, and I agree with you, man. Auburn's got to make that move. If they actually do that, that's going to definitely put a nice little stage for just good rivalry football, man, with the Auburn versus Alabama. I think it's good for college football. As much as I despise Bobby Petrino, as you mentioned, dude is a great coach, great college coach. He's a despicable human being, but like you said, sometimes you get by with, you know, with either your talent or something that you have going on for you. So we'll see how that plays out, and it's a pretty interesting transition. But as we always do, we're about 50, 60 minutes left in the show. We want to give out the numbers for those who want to call and kind of give us your thoughts and tweet us and all that fun stuff. And we actually have a tweet to talk about later on, Rob, when it comes to San Francisco. But the number to call in is 424-243-9519. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with 12th Man, and also Twitter, number 12, TH Man Sports, and you can show us your love. Let's talk about the Heisman here before we talk about fantasy shoutouts. And this is pretty interesting because the question was posed, who should be the Heisman winner? Now, before we talk about this, there has been no freshmen that have ever won the Heisman Trophy. There's been two sophomores back whenever Tim Tebow won it. And I want to say, who else won it, actually? I want to say Sam Bradford, if I'm not mistaken. But there hasn't been a freshman to win this award. So despite the history, and also we're going to talk about there has been a defensive player that's won this award since Charles Woodson, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So you have two things that can actually go against the grain with Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, and also Mateo from Notre Dame. If I'm the Heisman guys, I don't go for the freshman just yet. I know he's Mr. Football has made his case with a lot of signature wins. I just think he has more football to prove, and I think he should give it to the defensive guy and Mateo. But like you said, it's not diminishing what Johnny Football has done. I just think he's a young guy. Give him time to kind of progress. I know it's impressive, but that's just me. So what are your thoughts about the Heisman, sir?
Wow, I thought we were going to be on total different fronts here. I thought for sure you were going to go with Johnny Manziel. And but we're on the same page here. I actually think Manti Te'o should be the Heisman winner. And
wow.
I know normally you don't see linebackers winning the Heisman, but, I mean, you're talking about a Notre Dame program that hasn't been this close to a national championship since 1988, and he's been a key figure in getting this program up to par. I remember his recruitment. He was one of the highly rated linebackers coming out of high school from Hawaii. A lot of people thought he was going to go to USC, and this was a major coup for Notre Dame to steal him all the way from Hawaii to get him to come to Notre Dame. And he's been a tremendous leader on and off the field, and he's been an incredible linebacker. He plays the pass and the run well. He leads the nation, one of the leaders in the nation in interceptions.
Seven interceptions.
I just believe, you know, I just believe at this point in the season, he should be the Heisman winner.
Wow. That's pretty cool that we're actually thinking on the same page, too. Does he draw some comparisons to Junior Seau in your I know it's kind of like way ahead of his game, but, you know, obviously having an impact, and, you know, obviously this is a guy that he's, I'm sure, patterned himself after.
Well, I think there are some comparisons. I think Seau is a little bigger than he is at this time. Of course, Seau can still grow into that kind of size. But Seau was a linebacker that played the run and the pass well. He played both very well. And Teal is the same kind of linebacker where he can come up and stuff the run, and he can play pass coverage right. And he's got great hands. If the ball hits him, he's going to intercept it. You know, he's a big play linebacker. There's no doubt about it. He's a playmaker.
Gotcha. That's great to hear. So before we move on to the NFL, let's talk about some fantasy shout-outs. And let's go ahead and I'll leave that in your hands, Mr. Ford.
Fantasy shout-outs. Real quick, our 12-man sports fantasy football league. We're getting down to the wire here, but crazy crew Wayne DeGrange is still holding down the first-place spot. So congratulations to him, but it's still football to be played. In our college pick'em league, we're going to have one more week left for predicting games. About 18 games this week to pick. And yours truly, Robert Ford, is holding down the first-place spot. And then also we have a Talking Sports with 12-man fantasy basketball league. I tell you what, I was in first place all week. Now it's time to do our show. And Dr. Duncanstein is back in first place, Irv Daniels. So congrats to him. So I guess I still have some more work to do to try to get back in first and stay there. But congratulations. We want to thank you all for competing in our fantasy leagues. We got some more exciting things coming up next season as well. And we're probably going to do a college bowl pick'em challenge, too. So stay tuned for that. Listen in. Probably have some instructions on that next week once all the bowl games are settled. And so we'll probably do a college bowl pick'em challenge as well.
Yeah, I got to give Robert some props because I've been in second for college football pick'ems after that first that blazing start. But that's okay. You know, that's how life is. And we'll keep it going, as always. Let's talk about some NFL. We've got 11 minutes left in the show, and we have a lot of good topics here. Let's talk about Mr. Dominic and Dominic Sue. And this guy always seems to be in the news for some type of controversial play. And once again, he's being there's some questions about his hit being dirty against Houston. And I'm going to go on the record and say, yeah, I think it was kind of dirty. I think he kicked him just to try to intimidate the guy. That's just me, Sue. I know he's a dynamic player, but there's too many of these stories and are just coming up. So I think his reputation is definitely is preceding itself.
Oh yes, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. You know, even if I think the problem here, even if he didn't do it intentionally, his track record does not look good. His track record makes it seem like it was definitely intentionally, and so we basically have to go with that. Looks intentional. His track record makes it seem intentional. And so I really do think there's a problem there. And, I personally believe that Ndamukong Suh has a temper problem. And I think the Detroit Lions are really really looking to getting him some help. And you talk about a guy who seems to be really smart. He speaks well. But I would love to see the Detroit Lions invest in him and getting this kid some help, because he really seems like he's got a temper problem. And football is a physical game. And but, you know, the extracurricular stuff, you know, that stuff needs to go.
Yep. I agree with you wholeheartedly about that, too. So we'll keep it in. And Sue, like you said, you're a talented player. You just have to, like, calm down. And as you mentioned, let's check this guy in and just make sure that he's his head is screwed on straight, because he can actually become a more dominant player, and besides, you know, having these cheap hits and stuff like that. Let's move to something very, very interesting in that you posed an interesting question. I hate to bring this up. Obviously, with the Saints having a tough game versus the 49ers, I know you were talking a lot of junk last week, so we're going to have to, bring that back up. Jim Harbaugh playing with fire with the QB position. Is he playing with fire? And this is also related to the Twitter question. Is Kaepernick going to be the starting quarterback for San Fran? Is he the quarterback of the future? And we're thinking that there's some type of unwritten rule that you can't lose your starting job to injury. So there's a lot of questions that we're going to talk about in this particular example. And I've got some news as well that I found out from another source. And we're going to talk about CK7 is what they're calling him in the Bay Area. So let's let you talk about that, Rob, and I'll add my little 2 cents as well.
Well, I think Harbaugh is playing with a little fire here. And I don't know if you know the story where, you know, Harbaugh came out and said that Alex Smith is still their starting quarterback, but right now we want to evaluate Colin Kaepernick. And so I think that's playing with fire there, because basically when I hear something like that, is you're really saying, you know, hey, we're going to go with Kaepernick right now, but we don't want to say that Alex Smith is being benched. And that's just kind of the way I gathered it. And you know, the worst thing you can do to a player is lie to him. And, you know, and he's almost kind of playing with fire, crossing that line a little bit. Is he lying to Alex Smith? Because to me, and I think the rest of America is making this out to be that, hey, we're going with Kaepernick, but we don't want to say Alex Smith is being benched. And that's just the way I see it. And don't get me wrong, I've been very impressed with Kaepernick here these last couple of weeks. I saw the kid play at Nevada. I thought he was a tremendous prospect. And, you know, he even went somewhere right along the lines of where I had him in my mock drafts a couple of years ago as well. And so, I mean, I like the kid. He's got a ton of talent. And but I think it may be a little too soon to just hand him the – I don't think he's doing anything that Alex Smith was not doing. And I think that's what it's a little scary if they totally are going to turn it over to Kaepernick right now.
Well, I'm actually going to disagree with you, and this is an interesting point. I had a good chance to talk to somebody on the West Coast, and this is somebody that's a big-time 49er fan, and just kind of the way that he described it was pretty interesting, because he's like, a lot of times, you know, you're looking at the way that certain quarterbacks play the game, and there's a couple times whenever Alex Smith made the safe throw, basically meaning that he didn't really stretch the field as much. So if there was a safe check down, he made that throw. Don't get me wrong, he made a couple big throws. Obviously, there's some big throws to Vernon Davis, but just as far as the offense was kind of predicated towards them, he made a lot of the safe throws. Kaepernick comes in here, and he said, you know, obviously, he's able to scan the field. He's got a big enough arm to make certain throws, and basically saying even the receivers were actually excited because they were getting throws down the field. He was able to move the ball, and obviously, he's a mobile guy, but these are kind of things that if you're a coach that you kind of see what's going on, and obviously we're not there watching everything, but these are things that Jim Harbaugh has actually probably noticed. If you look back also throughout the year, Alex Smith didn't really get a big contract. He actually only signed to a small deal. And so I'm assuming that Jim Harbaugh must do something. He didn't draft Alex Smith. You know, obviously he wanted to right the ship, kind of get Kaepernick kind of acclimated to the game, and now it's his time, and he's seen how the team has responded to him. So even though last week I thought it was kind of premature to give the job to Alex Smith, after talking to my guy on the West Coast, I actually believe that it's probably a good decision. Jim Harbaugh himself hasn't been a stranger to a lot of conflicts. He had a little quarterback controversy back in the day, too, with Mike Tomczak whenever he played. So you have some interesting things going on. So right now I think the sky's the limit for the 49ers. And I thought that they would have a tough game versus you guys as the Saints, but, you know, obviously Kaepernick handled so very well, made a lot of big throws. And if you have a team that you can't just stack the box against them, you actually have to respect that. That makes it tougher to defend an already challenging, you know, team. So, you know, playing with fire, yeah, possibly, but, you know, obviously I think Jim Harbaugh knows what he's doing. You know, obviously Kaepernick has got a lot of confidence. There's nothing but he can do to get obviously get better. So, like I said, now is the time, and we'll see how they actually progress. So it's been a very, very exciting thing. So,
well, here's the deal. Yeah, I think the question is, why won't Harbaugh just come out and say it? If, you know, why say that Alex Smith is a starting quarterback, but I'm evaluating Kaepernick? I just think he's sending mixed signals there. And Kaepernick, like I said, I've been impressed with him back in his college days, and I think this guy will definitely be a starting quarterback, you know, and more than likely will be with the 49ers. So there's no question about that. But, you know, if you really watch the game with the Saints, Kaepernick's had an okay game. It wasn't great. The 49ers scored 31 points, but 14 of those points were scored by their defense. 17 of those points was only scored by their offense. So their offense was average pretty much this past weekend against a very leaky Saints defense, which, you know, the Saints defense has been getting better, you know, the last 5-6 weeks. But it's not anything more than what Alex Smith has been giving them.
Interesting. Well, like I said, we'll have to agree to disagree because, like I said, after a pretty impressive conversation and some things, like you said, you know, obviously I think he did enough stuff within the game to not lose. And like you said, too, you know, I take it back to the, you know, to a guy named Joey Harrington. There's, you know, we have history with this guy as well. I mean, certain guys that, you know, after a while you're not going to try to stretch the field. You're going to make a lot of safe throws. And maybe that was, you know, that's where Alex Smith kind of lies. I mean, obviously he's done some good things, but whenever you have a better team in the playoffs, you know, whenever you play against a Giants team or teams that you know, obviously you're not going to get away with those, you know, teams kind of stacking the box and kind of daring you to throw those little short routes. You have to do something that's a little bit different. You know, maybe you can stretch the flow a little bit or stretch the field a little bit and maybe have a little element that's going to push you over the top. And maybe that's something that Kaepernick actually brings to the table. So we'll see how that plays out.
I challenge all 49ers fans to tell me, go look this up and come back to me on next week's show. What is Colin Kaepernick's longest completion these last 2 weeks?
Longest completion. All right, we'll put
that out there.
That's
a homework assignment to 49er fans because I'm not seeing them stretching the defense.
Wow. You think that pass to Denard Walker wasn't anything. Okay, all right, okay.
So that was just a little slant over the middle that Denard Walker was wide open and just ran the rest of the way.
Wow, okay, all right. Awesome.
Go look at, when you think of stretching defenses, you think about fly patterns to wide receivers. And I'm looking at the stat sheet, and I'm seeing Michael Crabtree with 3 catches for 36 yards.
Wow. Well, we'll see. Well, we're getting wrapped. We're getting ready to wrap this up. I know we got to talk about the OT, and we got to get set for the OT portion of the show. There's been somebody that's been texting, talking about Rob. We got to talk about the big matchup between the Saints and the Falcons. We should put some type of bet out there. I don't know. What do you think about this, sir, before we wrap up? I know it's interesting. So, you know, got about a minute in 10 seconds before we wrap up. So what do you want to talk about this, man? You talk about OT or what?
Yes, let's go ahead and wrap up. We appreciate you all for tuning in. And make sure you join us on next Tuesday night. We'll recap championship weekend in college football and, of course, NFL, and preview the following week's NFL games as well. So make sure you join us next Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. And for those of you who have time tomorrow, catch our OT portion. You click on the same link, and you can listen to the remaining 15 minutes of our OT portion that's not live. We have some NFL predictions we're going to be covering here in our OT portion, so you don't want to miss that. And we have some NFL injuries to discuss for those of you all who play fantasy football, so you don't want to miss the OT portion. You got anything you want to wrap up, Dre?
Yeah, hopefully we'll talk about that, and for those that are looking for some type of bet, maybe we'll work on that for the next time. Maybe we'll have to have a picture of Rob in a Falcon jersey or me and Chase Jersey. So we'll see how that plays out. So we'll talk about that in the OT portion. Thanks, guys. Good night. And we are now officially into the OT portion of the show. And as Robert mentioned, we got to talk about some key injuries that are taking place, and we're going to keep talking about the 49ers. And also, we're going to touch base on the NFL's top five teams. So let's talk about this in that the 49ers actually placed their kick returner, Kyle Williams, and Kendall Hunter on injured reserve, in addition to the Eagles placing Sean Jackson on the IR, as well as releasing Jason Babbitt, the defensive end. So a lot of moves that have been going on. Let's talk about these injuries to Kyle Williams and Kendall Hunter. That's going to affect the 49ers, Rob.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, of course I was at the Saints 49ers game this past Sunday, and it's very interesting. Both of those guys got carted off the field on the same play. They got injured on the same play. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that before. And that was an extremely physical football game, which, of course, gives the 49ers credit. They won the game and deserved to win, and congratulations to them. But it was an extremely physical game, and it seemed like both teams were just losing players to cart-offs and things of that nature. And both Kyle Williams and Kendall Hunter both got carted off the field. You know, a lot of people look at those players and they look at them as being role players. And Kyle Williams is your punt return, kickoff return guy for the Niners. So, I mean, those are key players. And the 49ers use a 1-2 punch at running back. Kendall Hunter comes in and spells Frank Gore. So you got to wonder how much of an effect it's going to have on their offense. But the 49ers defense is so great. That's just going to be – they'll be able to stay in a game and have an opportunity to beat just anybody in the league on any given day because of that defense. So I think in the long run, I don't think it's going to hurt them that much. And I think with that defense, and hopefully they have a little bit more depth that can come in and spell Kendall Hunter and Kyle Williams. They're both on IR and out for the year.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too, because whenever you're watching the game, and I think, I don't know, was Ted Ginn in there whenever, afterwards, whenever he fumbled that punt, was that after Kyle Williams got hurt, or what? Do you remember that play? Because I know, like, Ted
I can't remember if it was before or afterwards, but I know Kyle Williams does handle a lot of the punt return duty. They mix it up a little bit with Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn was the one who fumbled the punt return.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, well, keeping it going, like I said, very interesting. And then also, obviously, that's going to, we'll see how that plays out, too, because there's a lot of moves that are going to actually take place with the 49ers, because, like you said, it kind of affects how they do some things. And I know there's certain role players that can come in, but I'm sure that they're going to make some right decisions and get that ship righted as well. Let's talk about the Eagles placing Deshaun Jackson on IR. This is a big move, and for the Eagles, it just seems like the season can't get any worse for them. I mean, there's obviously losing Vic, to the concussion, and it seems like Andy Reid is not getting any favors right now. So they released Jason Babin. A lot of things going wrong with the Eagles right now. I don't know who's worse between the Eagles and the Jets right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been one tough year for the Philadelphia Eagles. I tell you that, even going back to prior to training camp, losing the starting left tackle, Jason Peters, they have four of their five starting offensive linemen injured. And Michael Vick has been out with concussions. Now LeSean McCoy has a concussion. Now Deshaun Jackson has fractured ribs. This has just been one really tough football year, and it's just one of those years you just got to say it's just not the Philadelphia Eagles year. They just had so many things to go wrong. And I personally believe Andy Reid is a very good football coach. And he's pretty much going to get fired. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I guess we can argue if he deserves to be fired or not. He will get another football job. But it's just one of those years. It's just been a tough year for the Philadelphia Eagles. And we wish a lot of the players that are coming off these injuries, a recovery to bounce back for next season as well.
Yeah, like you said, it's just been a rough year. We think he's a great coach. He's definitely going to get a lot of offers for another opportunity. Maybe it may be a time for him to kind of take a step back, maybe take a year off and kind of evaluate some opportunities. But, if I'm Dallas, or vice versa, you never know. I think there's always opportunities for great coaches. And like you said, he just had just a rough year. just tough injuries and just things that have been going on. But like you said, we don't know who's worse between them and the Jets, because I think the same thing may be happening to Mr. Rex Ryan, too. He's kind of lost control of that team, too. So it's just been bad opportunities all the way around. Let's talk about our NFL top five teams, Mr. Ford. And I'll go ahead and start it off, because I'm sure we're going to have some interesting top fives. Obviously, we're going to go number one to the Texans with 10-1. You know, obviously, they're still the most balanced team out there. I'm going to go number two with my Atlanta Falcons. Not going with my heart, going with my head. I got number three going to the Giants. This is, you know, with the good dismantling of a very, very good Packers team. Number four, we're going with the 49ers. And I'm going to agree with you with number five. I'm going with the New England Patriots. They're kind of under the radar. They're just doing their thing, kind of winning, making a great trade, picking up Talib from Tampa Bay. And that's my top five right now.
Wow, okay. Well, as usual, we seem to agree with one and two, but we differ from three to five. But I'm going to agree that I still have the Houston Texans as the number one team in the NFL. Even though their defense has been giving up a lot of points here the last couple of weeks, so that is a cause for concern a little bit. And but they still probably have the most fierce pass rush in the league outside of Aldon Smith. J.J. Watt is a flat-out beast for the Houston Texans. And I guess between he and Aldon Smith, you got to think those two guys are the favorites to be NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And, of course, I'm going to agree with you at number two with your Falcons as well, 10-1 as well. And, you know, say what you will, but they just seem to find a way to win games. And, you know, I think 7 out of the 10 wins are by a touchdown or less. And they know how to close out games. They have a strong field goal kicker, strong special teams. And so you know, they know how to win games, you know, in crucial situations there. And number three, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. They're 9-2. They seem to keep winning. And you know, I wanted to write them off when Ray Lewis went out, but they keep winning as well. And so I'm going to go with the Ravens at number three. And number four, I'm going to go with the 49ers. And this is a team. Their defense is phenomenal. It might be one of the better defenses I've seen since the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. And so this is a team that can be pretty scary, and I think are capable of beating anybody in the league just because I think they can stop on any given Sunday just about any team in the league. And so I think it's just going to depend on what kind of play they get from the quarterback position and on how far they can go. But their defense is that scary. So I got the 49ers at number four. Got a little bit of a twist at number five. I got the Denver Broncos at number five right now. Oh. And And I put them ahead of New England, and here's what I'm thinking here. The Denver defense has a pass rush, and their overall defense is better than the Patriots. And I think that could be the difference between those two. I mean, you both have great quarterback play now, and you both have some weapons on the offensive side of the ball. But I think defensively, Denver has a pass rush. And these are things that you need in the NFL. You need a great quarterback. You need a great offensive line. You need a great pass rush if you're going to be successful. And Denver have all three. New England is missing that pass rush element, and their defense can be a little leaky when they go against good offenses. Now, the last few weeks they've been playing against teams with subpar offenses, and they've been able to blow them out. But Denver has the makings, and I think this Denver team can win the Super Bowl. I mean, I think they can win the AFC. They have an opportunity. Not saying they will, but they're going to be right there in the mix.
Wow. Good stuff as always, Rob. So like I said, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, like I said, we like the I like the fact that we always bring different, you know, elements to our thought process. So that's very, very very good stuff, as always. Let's move on here. Let's talk about calling some games here, and we're going to jump right into some good calls. The Seahawks at the Bears is the first prediction, and in spite of Russell Wilson playing well and some shakiness with the Bears, I think they're going to pull this game out. Since it's at Chicago, I think they're still going to handle business against a young Seattle Seahawks team.
I like the Bears here, too. At home, it's going to be tough. Seattle playing another game from across the country. And as you can see, I know you're not a big fan of Jay Cutler, but this team just seems to be better with him than without him. And so I definitely think the Bears win this game, even without Matt Forte if he doesn't play.
Gotcha. We'll see how it plays out. Let's talk about another game, Minnesota at Green Bay. This is another interesting game. Minnesota played well. They're the one team that actually stymied the 49ers. We don't know how that happened back in the day, early in the season. I think Green Bay is going to be very upset about what happened with Chicago. They're going to come out guns blazing, and they're going to handle business against the Vikings.
Absolutely. The Vikings have been slowly sliding after the great start, and the Green Bay is going to come out here upset at the way they played against the Giants this past week. I definitely like Green Bay in this game. I definitely think they'll rebound. And, you know, it's still cause for concern that Green Bay cannot run the football, and that's probably going to hurt them come playoff time. And but I think they'll definitely be able to get by Minnesota.
Yeah, they have had some serious issues trying to find the guy to fill in the gap and get some run. You would think they're going to make a move for picking up a running back, but this hasn't been the case so far. So we'll see if that's going to hold up for them. That's a real team that's playing with fire, Rob, I think. So we'll keep going. We have Tampa Bay at Denver. And as you said, Denver, you've got them in your top five. And as much as Tampa Bay is playing well and has a lot of confidence, it sucks because Denver's strengths are Tampa Bay's weaknesses. And what I'm talking about, they have a weak secondary, and that's going to be Denver's strengths. In addition to, I know there's some problems with the running game. You can say that with Denver, but I think it's going to be too much for Tampa Bay to overcome. Doug Martin's going to get his, but I still think Denver's going to pull this game out.
I totally agree. I think Denver can win this game by a couple of touchdowns, too. And so, yeah, I like Denver. I like the way they're playing. I mean, Peyton Manning is playing, looking like his old self again here. And, yeah, I really like the Denver team. I really think they're a sleeper to win the AFC.
Gotcha. Good deal. Let's give your thoughts for Pittsburgh at Baltimore, obviously another team that you've picked in your top five. I can't believe that the Chargers gave up a 4th-and-29. But what do you think about this particular game, sir?
Well, I like the Ravens at home. I mean, there's a chance that Ben Roethlisberger is going to come back and play. And, well, we don't know how healthy he is. And, you know, I just think the Ravens overall are a better team. And, you know, Ravens win this game. They're quietly 10-2. Joe Flacco throws a deep ball as good as any QB in the league. They got a solid run game. Their defense is still solid. This is just a sound football team. Very good special teams as well.
Gotcha. I want to talk about some quick things. I know we're kind of against it. We got about 3 minutes left in the show. And do you want to talk real quick about college basketball? Because I want to talk about some top five NBA teams, because I just want to get into this real quick. I don't know if you want to recap. I'm kind of like picking on you here with North Carolina playing against Indiana. If you want to talk about that real quick or anything that you want to do. Got to talk about
Well, there's not much to say about that. Indiana clearly looks like the best team in college basketball. I think Duke is surprisingly playing very well this year. I didn't expect them to be playing as well as they are. So, and based on what I've seen so far, they look like the best two teams in college football. And those anybody that knows me, that's hard for me to say that because I hate Duke. You know, I'm just going to be real here. And but, you know, I have to say what I see. And based on what I see, I think Duke has been the second best team in college basketball so far.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the top five NBA teams. Rob, as we switch gears, we got about right about 2 minutes. This is who I have for my top teams. And I'm just going by record. So I'm going to go with the Spurs. They're 12-3. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they're 11-4. The surprising Memphis Grizzlies at 10-2. You got to throw Miami in there. They're 10-3. And this is an interesting one. And I know for my New York fans, I had to put both of them in here. They're kind of one team. Brooklyn and the Knicks. I know the Knicks, you know, they kind of dropped a couple games, but they're both 9-4. So I know it's kind of a toss-up, you know, Brooklyn, New York, that's why I have kind of 5-6, 5-A, 5-B. So that's what I have for my top five.
Sounds good. I think we have pretty much the same five teams, or maybe not in the same order. Right now I have Memphis number one. I think they've been the most impressive team. Their front court is as good as any team in the league when you're talking about having Rudy Gay, Zach Randolph, and Marc Gasol. And if you can get some solid backcourt play, this team could be scary. Number two, I have the Spurs. They just seem to still just plug along. The Miami Heat, I have at number three right now. I have at number four, Oklahoma City. Number five, the Brooklyn Nets. And I know we're coming up against it on time, but make sure you all join us next Tuesday night. Once again, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. Make sure you all join us. Don't want to miss our football coverage next week in preparing for the BCS National Championship game.
A lot of big deals. We'll talk also about the interesting reports. Is that true that Arkansas offered the LSU the coaching job? Is that gonna go down or no? What do you think, real quick?
Well, I think Les Miles is going to say no, but it seems as though the report is true, and I think LSU will work out something. He's